into the book of Isaiah for a few moments. Isaiah chapter 26. And I want to relate a few verses to you about God's dealing with Israel and Israel's enemies. And Israel had many enemies because they were God's people. And a lot of the judgment that they brought upon themselves was just that. They brought it upon themselves because they did not do what we sang in that song. They did not trust, nor did they obey. And the Lord said to them on an occasion, obedience is better than sacrifice. And oftentimes in our world today, we want to appear so pious and to appear so sacrificial, and yet it is not out of obedience. It is out of our desire of what we think we might be able to obtain from God. In Isaiah's gospel, and I think it is a gospel, the good news that we find back there in the book of Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 10, God says in this hymn of praise, let favor be shown to the wicked. Yet will he not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. And then in verse 21, for behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the, what's that next word? The inhabitants of the earth. And then it says, for their iniquity, to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. Now chapter 27, right across the page in my Bible, you may have to turn the leaf, chapter 27 and verse 11. When the boughs thereof are withered, they shall be broken off. The women come and set them on fire, for it is a people of no, what's the next word? No understanding. Therefore, he that made them will not have mercy on them, and he that formed them will show them no favor. Isaiah says in chapter 55 and verse 3, that hear and your soul shall live. Hear and your soul shall live. I had the radio on a couple of weeks ago, and I heard a preacher say that when you were baptized, that's when you became a saint. I don't know where that he gets that in his Bible. I don't see it in mine. And then I heard one this past week when you already had the radio on, and he said that you cannot show me in the Bible where that you're saved. When you're saved for an eternity. I don't know what Bible that man's reading. And people in this country are just listening to what they want to hear. The greatest problem that God has with you, with me, let's make this applicable to our own place this morning, not to the land in general, because we're part of America. And the greatest problem that God has with you, and the greatest problem that God has with me, even those of us who are saved, and also those who are not saved, is to get us to listen. God says we're hearing with our ear, but we're not hearing with our mind. For if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those that are lost. For the God of this world has blinded their minds, lest the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. So God wants us to hear. And the problem that we have in our world today is discipline in the home. Discipline in the home has been the root of our disobedience. We do not want to discipline the way that God says to discipline. We don't want to listen. If you look in Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verse 18, There the Lord says, if a man have a stubborn son. Now listen to what the Lord says. And a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him, if he still won't listen, God says that if he will not hearken, then they shall stone him. They shall stone him to put him to put away evil from among you all. To put among evil from all of Israel. Because as the sons are growing up, that's the way they're going to act. The way that a daughter grows up, that's the way she's going to act. The proverb says, as a daughter of mother is, so is the daughter. We are not listening to what God has for us today. Punishment is a farce. It's not a farce to God. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, for whom the Lord loveth, he what? He chasteneth. The Lord chasteneth. And he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. If you love your son, you are to correct him. Now, the Lord says also in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24, he that spareth the rod hateth his son. Now, we're not talking about a great big rod the size of that leg on that easel there. We're not talking about that. The rod in the Hebrew word, the Hebrew word, can mean guidance, it can mean instruction, and it also means a switch. Use enough switch on those little legs, they'll soon learn how to obey. And that's God's way. God says, he that spareth the rod, the instruction, the guidance, and if it's necessary, the switch on the legs, he says he hateth his son. But he that loveth him, chasten him betimes. Chasten him when it's necessary. Now, I'd like to ask you this morning a question that I asked you when I first came here. Does the professing church have AIDS? Acquired immune deficiency syndrome. And what that means is you're immune to what the medicine or what the antibiotic or whatever it is that can penetrate the necessities of the virus or whatever the infection is in your body. But I'm not speaking about physical AIDS. I'm speaking about spiritual AIDS. Do we have an acquired immune deficiency syndrome through our generations? In the third generation, when perhaps years ago things were flourishing in the assembly, and then you come down to about the third generation, and there's an acquired immune deficiency. And it's a syndrome. And the Word of God rolls off people like water off of a duck's back. We're not listening to what God has to say to us. We have heard with the ear, but not with the mind. Romans 1 and 18 says, it's in your bulletin, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. And it is. And all unrighteousness of men. All unrighteousness of men who hold truth, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And I think we are such a proud nation today that we don't understand what is going on around us. We're not looking to what God wants us to look. We're listening to things to which God doesn't want us to listen. Now, this thing of AIDS today, it's splattered all over the paper, all over the news media, because a popular basketball player got it. What about if some little water boy down on the end of the bench got it? He's just as important as that other guy. And how did he get it? And now the reason he's been made part of this commission that is in Washington is to teach children how to use condoms. That isn't the way that it's done. Abstinence, as we read in the book today, that's how it's done. That's what they need to be taught, is the Word of God. Not how to. God says, I will not wink. God says in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, I think it is, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your iniquities. And God is talking to the nation that he has blessed the most, that has ever been put upon the face of this earth. He's talking to us, and He's talking to us right here at Florence Bible Chapel, because that's where it begins. Right where we are is where it begins. And if you have your bulletin, and there is several acrostics in there, and our indecision's devastating sanity. Indecision. People say, well, I'm not going to accept the Lord today. I had a man on deathbed here in the hospital not too long ago. He says, I want to accept the Lord, but not now. That's an insane decision. He says, maybe tomorrow. And then this is the way that we make these indecisions. People said, well, maybe I won't go to the Lord's house today where the people are gathered, and I'll go next Sunday. And then next Sunday it's put off again. Indecisions. Let me ask us, each and every one of us, that. Are indecisions devastating sanity? And we have to answer the way that God would answer, as we read back there in the book of Isaiah. As we read, and God says that, for it is a people of no understanding. They don't listen to what God has to say. And then our indifferences destroying our society. We say, it isn't my problem. Listen, my friend, AIDS can be your problem. You know, the mothers in Germany in the late 30s didn't think that Hitler was their problem. But he was. You see, we are indifferent. But you cannot be indifferent. As we read in the responsive reading, we're to be filled with the Holy Spirit and not with wine. Now, why that contrast there when the Lord spoke that? Why that contrast? Because when we are filled with wine, we look funny, don't we? We act funny. We don't act the way that we should in this body. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, to the world, you look funny. You act funny. God wants us to be intoxicated with the Holy Spirit of God, to be filled with Him, to act the way that God would have us to act. And then in the third acrostic on the first part, we put here, and I can't spell immoral, but it probably needs that other R in there anyhow, our immoral desire spreading. Just look around us. Just look around. R-rated movies, pornographic pictures, everything is to the allure of sex. You can't sell a battery on TV unless you have a pretty woman that's almost naked. You can't sell anything. You look at it. You notice it. And so this is the situation that we have. Our immoral desire spreading. And are we correcting? Are we correcting our children? As it says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in what way? The definite article, the way. Train up a child in the way, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's the promise of God. It's a general promise. It's a general principle. But we don't listen to God. We have our own ideas, and we can let, oh, if we tell our children certain things, it'll be all right. So, what about our children? Are they being taught in school about evolution? Sure they are. Can they be taught about the creation? No, they can't. Now, you say Sunday school isn't important. Well, and a lot of people think that Sunday school is the answer. No, it isn't. You have a kid goes to school 30 hours a week, approximately, to the secular school. If his parents or if her parents bring them, they have about 30 minutes in the Sunday school a week. Compare 30 minutes against 30 hours. And so we are training our children the wrong way. They don't get what we should be giving them. They are getting what the world gives them, and they'll become a people of no understanding. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it from him. That's God's word. Oh, we need to listen, as the preacher preached up in New England years ago, in the hands, sinners in the hands of an angry God. And my friend, sinners are in the hand of an angry God. God is angry at sin all the time. My friend, the Bible teaches us that all nations shall be turned into hell. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. So am I devoted sincerely? Do I really care? Do I listen to the Bible? Do I read it? Do I engulf it? Do I know that James tells me that to be a doer of the Word and not just a hearer only? Am I a hypocrite in my actions? Am I? Am I before the world? Do they see me as a hypocrite? Do I say one thing and do something else? And nobody, my friend, sees you any nearer than your children or your grandchildren. They know. And my friend, your children and your grandchildren more often than not look up to you. They will follow in your footsteps. A little boy was following in the footsteps of his daddy, who was a drunk, and he followed him because he was his daddy. And so this is something that is so prevalent in our world today, so prevalent in our society today, that we are not listening to the Word of God. We are not doing what God tells us to do. God says, withhold not correction from thy son or from thy child. For if thou beatest him with a rod, he'll not die. If you use common sense and use the right kind of switch, he'll hurt. My mom used to whip me every day. She thought I was a whipping post. I had six sisters and there wasn't anybody around me to fight, so I fought with my sisters because my brother was 5 years older than I and he could beat the thunder out of me. And so I fought with my sisters and I always caught it. I thought she must have thought I was a whipping post. And she was just a little thing, but she knew how to use that switch on me, and I remember that. We don't forget those things. My mother was a godly mother, and she knew that a boy shouldn't be hitting a girl with his fist. And, of course, I didn't know any different back when I was a kid. But, you see, and I didn't die. Now I'm going to. If the Lord doesn't return, so are you. We're going to die. But I didn't die from those beatings. It made me stop and think the next time. And I think she just decided I needed one just about every day anyhow. So we ask ourselves, who will teach us that homosexuality is totally wrong? Who will tell us about that? That it's physically wrong? All you have to do is turn to the book of Leviticus. You turn to the book of Leviticus in chapter 18 and verse 22, and there it says, thou shalt not lie with mankind, or as womankind, as womankind. Thou shalt not. God says it. And you know, when we get down to being so ruthless and so immoral, that the next verse, I don't even know why God would have to say it. Are we capable of doing that? Yes, we are. Now, what does the next verse say there in Leviticus chapter 18? Neither shall thou lie with any beast. That's about what we'll hear next if the Lord doesn't return. We are a sick people. We are a sin-sick people. America is desperately searching, but she's searching in the wrong way. Searching in economics, and that won't satisfy at all. Searching in the safety that we might have in atomic weapons, that won't satisfy at all. We're searching, but we're not looking to the right place. You turn to Isaiah 45 and 22, the Lord says, look unto whom? Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God, and there's none else. God says, look unto me. But we're not looking. We're not listening. We're just doing what we want to do. As it says in the book of Judges, that every man did that which was right in his own sight. And that's what we're doing today, and that's wrong. God says we must come to Him. We must look to Him. And America is desperately searching. But the Bible says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Dedication. Commitment. No wonder Christians don't know anything about the Bible. They don't read it. And you can't know anything about the Lord if you don't read it. All we know about the Bible is what some preachers told us and we're spoon-fed. we don't get into the Word of God and look and see and come across difficulties and say to the Holy Spirit, reveal that unto me. I got into 1 John here not too long ago, and I cried to the Lord over and over again just for a passage that didn't seem to give me what I thought I should. But the Lord did. But He didn't do it right away. I had to keep going back and going back. And the Holy Spirit one morning just broke it right up on my soul. And I hadn't talked to anybody about it. He brought it right up on my soul, what the Word of God said. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's what? It's profitable. The Word of God is profitable. But who will teach us? God wants to. But to be a student, you have to listen. If you're going to be a student of God, you have to listen. We have to listen to what He's trying to say. And what is it that's driving our country to the judgment of an almighty God? Now, I have down there listed some things. Alcohol, abortion, incest, drugs, and sex. But those are not the things that are driving us to the judgment of Almighty God. Not the primary. The primary thing that is driving all people to the judgment of God is the rejection of His Son. Sin. The unjudged sin in our lives. For a Christian, he will never stand for judgment of his sin because it's already been judged in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But God says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. No wonder God doesn't answer our prayers. Alcohol. All the advertisements of the ball games, and kids like ball games. I don't blame them. I like them. I've liked them all my life. But every sport practically that is advertised on television is advertised by beer. Every one of them. And showing beer is showing that you can have a good time. It doesn't show the wrecks. It doesn't show the murders. It doesn't show the rapes and all these things. But it just shows what the goodness and the good part of it is. Make you feel high. This is what the alcohol does. And God said to Jeremiah, I knew you before you were formed in the belly. Then I would think that abortion might be wrong. Then what I think about abortion would be, what if the Lord Jesus Christ had been aborted? You know, there was a good case there, was there not? Joseph didn't want to, he thought that Mary had been unfaithful when she was espoused unto him. There was a good case there for abortion, was there not? If right at the first, if, you know, when the Holy Spirit conceived the Lord Jesus, he wouldn't have been a person. You know, a lot of scriptures say, before the foundation of the world, God foreordained that Jesus Christ would come into the world. Abortion is silly. Abortion is evil. That's not the answer to not having children. The answer to not having children is abstinence. Young girls and young boys, that's the answer. Having abstinence, being taught by their parents, being controlled by the discipline of their parents. This is where babies are made between young boys and young girls and young men and young women. Abstinence, listening, and not telling them, then your child wouldn't have to have the thought of having an abortion. There's nothing more beautiful in God's creation than love between a man and a woman when they're married. There's nothing more ugly in God's creation to Him than sexual relationships to God between a man and a woman who are not married or it's an illicit affair. Because Jesus Christ is the only reason for divorce. Adultery. That's how ugly it is to Him. And God does not, God hates divorce. The Word of God says that. But yet, that awfulness of adultery, the Lord Jesus Christ says, that is a legal ground for divorce. We are not listening. And there are two-thirds of the marriages that are being done today are being undone. So pretty soon we're going to have more people that are unmarried than are married. And then when they get remarried, it's the same thing over again. Over 60% of the remarriages do not stay together. If we don't like it, we just say, well, we'll get rid of it. That is not the way God is speaking to America. We need a revival. We need a revival of listening to the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse from all sin. We need a revival that says that we will look unto God, the author and finisher of faith. We'll keep our eye on Him and not on the eye of man. Not our eye on Washington. Look what happened over in the USSR. Just a little bit of time. And you read in the book of Isaiah, and it says that God will cause these things to happen in an instant. God can cause these things to happen the way that God wants them to happen. We have the most wonderful nation, I believe, that has ever been put up on the face of this earth. It's not the best it's ever going to be, but it is so far, I believe. And I, as feeble as I am, I would go back and serve in the army if it were needed to be for this country. But this country is in trouble. This country is in trouble because we are not listening to God. It's not because of Washington. We're just as bad as the people that we send up there. There are no more statesmen up there today because I don't think we have any statesmen to send there. We just have politicians. So you see, we stand up there and we want the courts to decide whether abortion is wrong or whether it's not. And listen, how stupid can it be when they put their hand on this and this says abortion is wrong? We don't need any judges or Congress to tell us that abortion is wrong. This tells us that abortion is wrong. We don't listen. And how can they have a chaplain in the Congress and they put their hands on this Bible when they swore in as president and we don't know any more than a hog does Sunday about what's inside? That is, we are, my friend, in this country, in a dire, dire circumstance. I don't know how many of you happened to have on the television the other evening. Well, I think it was either 2020 or something like this. And they were revealing the richest evangelist on television. And it was all apart. That's what it brings upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It was all a facade. And they have bring in millions and millions of dollars, and we can't get people to come and to listen to the Word of God, which we speak unadulterated and speak the truth. We can't get people to come and listen to that. But you have some crooked evangelist come in here and say he can heal somebody, and he can't. There's only one healer, and that's God. That, you see, people will flock to that. That's wrong. We need to listen to God. And then we look at incest. That's one of the most horrible things that there ever was. A father or a mother molesting their child. Hell's going to be hot for those people. That's awful. But it's rampant in our country today. Incest. And then we see drugs. Oh, how awful. How horrible. Perhaps some of us didn't have to face that when we were growing up. We need to think about these young kids and these youth. They're good kids and they're good youth. I believe that. But they have that temptation out there that you and I didn't have. And don't you say that you and I wouldn't have done it had it been out there.
Amen.
We can just say, but by the grace of God, here walk I. But my friend, we need to show our children, we need to reveal to them that God's way is the best way. There isn't any in between. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the way. And we must insist, as parents, we must insist that children be taught the Word of God. Now, they may not accept it, but we must insist that they be taught it. We must, and even grandparents, back in the book of Deuteronomy, the Lord says to thy sons and thy sons' sons. I had the pleasure of leading two of my granddaughters to the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says to thy sons and thy sons' sons. And my only grandson, the best one I got, and he's also the orneriest, he got saved just not too long ago when he was 6 years old. And he called me up and told me he was going to get baptized. And I said, why are you going to get baptized, Granddad? He said, Granddad, you should know that. You should know why I'm getting baptized. And so, you see, he knew that I knew why he got baptized and why I was getting baptized, because he was saved. But this is something that we must see that it's damnable, this drug situation in our world. We must see. We must open our eyes and see, not be like the people back here who had eyes to see and could not see, and who had ears to hear and could not hear. Oh, my friend, I hope it doesn't come like it is in the book of Amos, that there's a drought for the Word of God. There's a drought, and people will want to hear and can't. I hope that nobody in here is in that condition. That you're not, that you're here, if you're unsaved, my friend, there's only one thing that'll save you, and it'll save you from any of these things about which I'm speaking, and that's the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary for the sin of the whole world, that He did it for you and for me because He loves us. And then, after drugs, we have sex. Oh, my friends, the awfulness, everything is relegated to that. The bathing suits that women wear nowadays. How can a boy who is normal not look at her with lust? And the Lord Jesus Christ said, if you've looked at her and you've lusted with her already in your heart, you've committed adultery already in your heart. So how can we not do this? We scantily dress ourselves and then we say it's all right. It is not all right. When we parade what God has meant to be a sanctified thing, and that is sex in our life, God has separated you and me, and the only nakedness that you're authorized to see is the nakedness of your wife or your husband. Look in the book. Look in the book. And that's the only nakedness that God authorizes you and I to see. So, listen. We are not listening to God. We just want to listen to ourselves. And Jesus Christ hung there on the cross of Calvary, and He was saying, in effect, look unto Me, all ye ends of the world, and see what I'm doing. I'm dying here on the cross of Calvary for your rejection of Me, for your rejection of the things of God. And I'm dying for your sin, for all your sin, and for all your sins. John 1:29 says, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin, the S-I-N, of the world. The sin of rejecting what God has to say to you and to me. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Teach them about sex. You hear about these things, teaching them about the birds and the bees. There's nothing about the birds and the bees. We just need to teach them what the Word of God teaches, and to teach them about sex, and teach them about reproduction, and teach them about sanctity of their bodies, both boys and both girls. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. But we don't want to do that. We want to go to a counselor. We want to go to this person. We want to go where? But God, and they, perhaps they aren't even Christian. And maybe a Christian goes to those people. Go to God. Go to Him. Get direction from Him. Go to a person who is an elder. They're a shepherd. They're the shepherd of God's people. Go to them. Talk to them. Have them to show you through the Word of God what needs to be done. Come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Am I destroying self? You know, no one can destroy you but yourself. Now, Satan's a destroyer, but you have to realize that Jesus Christ conquered him on the cross of Calvary. He conquered him, my friend. James 4:4 says, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? And whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Now you can just go right ahead and be a friend to all these evil things in the world, but the Word of God says if you are, you're an enemy with God. An enemy of God. Do you want to be called that? Or do you want to be called, like John 1:12 says, to those who received Him? Listen, if you're here and you haven't received Him, He'll give you the power to become the sons of God if you just receive Him. And receiving Him means to trust Him, as we sang in that song, to literally trust Him with your very being. Not just some word of profession, but a possession that Jesus Christ belongs to me and I belong to Him. Amen. There's too many professions today and not enough possession. Ezekiel 18:4 says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." That's the Word of God. All souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so is the soul of the Son, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Isaiah 31:11 says, "And I will punish the world for their evil. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." But Isaiah says here, God says, "I will punish the world," that same world that Jesus died for their evil, if they will not accept Him. John 3:18 says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, and he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." We have a Savior. We have one who loves us. We have one who died for us. We have one who broke the veil from top to bottom, from God downward for you and for me, that we could go right into the Holy of Holies with the Lord Jesus Christ. He did all these things for you and for me. And all we have to do is to believe Him. Now listen, my friend, I want to say this to you. If you get saved, and if you are saved, both ways, if you get saved and are saved and will permit the Holy Spirit to fill you, you will not walk in the ways of the world. You won't do that. Because if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, my friend, you're going to produce the fruits of the Spirit, and the first one is love, and then joy, and all the nine that go with that. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12:9, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us and gave us reverence." How long will you halt between two opinions, Elijah said up on Mount Carmel? If God be God, serve Him. If Baal be God, then follow Him. If God be God, follow Him. If Baal be God, follow Him. And the people answered not a word. You have to make a choice. As Christians, we need to make a choice. Am I going to be committed to God? Or am I committed to my dining room table? I have to have a nice meal every meal for my family. That's all right. But am I just committed to that? Am I committed to fancy clothes? Am I committed to a fancy home? Am I committed to the automobiles, the best, those things? Listen, be committed to Christ. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He'll add all those things. He's the God of all gods. He's the God to whom we have to answer. He's the living God of Israel. Joshua says in his closing words of Joshua chapter 24, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day who you will serve." You have to choose, and you have to choose today. Have we been playing church? Have we been playing with God? Have we not been listening? My friend, it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. Am I destroying self? In Psalm 9:8, it says, "And He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness." In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19, John the Apostle says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." That's what he said. It's no difference now. You know, Isaiah says in chapter 66 and verse 16, "For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord will be many, many." The Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew's Gospel 7:13, "For broad is the way and wide is the gate, and many there go in thereat." That's the way of destruction. Way broad and wide, but narrow is the way unto Christ, because there's only one way. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Let me ask you this morning, when are you going to get off the fence? When are you going to come, who's on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. When are we going to get off the fence? Is it such a chore to serve the Lord? Choose. We have to make a decision. You, that's a personal. Choose you. It's a personal question and a personal thing to you. This day, not tomorrow, choose you this day. Whom, God or Satan, that's who it is, God or Satan, ye will serve. A bond slave to one or the other. Does it matter? Look at, with me in closing at Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 3. And it says, he that killeth an ox is he that slew a man. No difference. He that sacrificed a lamb is he that cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. Oh, my friend, the word of God is solemn. It's the most wonderful word in all the universe. It's the only word that God has given. But it's a solemn word, and it tells us that if we do not accept it, that we're going to spend an eternity in the lake of fire. Your soul is eternal, and you will either go to heaven to worship the Lord Jesus Christ for an eternity, or you go into the lake of fire where there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth for just as long. And God doesn't want that. What will it be with you? If you're here this morning and you're unsaved, you can be saved today. Today is the day of salvation. If you're here as a Christian and your life is not committed, you can be committed today. Don't put it off, that indifference, until tomorrow. Not till next Sunday or something like that. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to what? Thine own understanding. So my friend, God wants you to be saved. He gave his best, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be saved. He wants our nation to be a righteous nation. You know, we have to have a place in the history of God. This is the greatest nation that's ever been put on the face of the earth. Now, I know you can't find it in the Bible, but God just doesn't put people down here and let them go their own way. We have to answer perhaps more than any nation will have ever answered on this face of this earth. God has given us church buildings on practically every corner in this land, and we're not listening to what God's preachers want us to hear. We're listening to what we want to hear, and we turn a deaf ear when a preacher preaches like I preached this morning.